slacker, a no-gooder. He doesn't understand anything. He's not very bright. He was brilliant 2 weeks ago, but today he's not bright because he didn't support Trump's, quote, big, beautiful bill. We're really in bad shape because we have a lunatic at the head, or a person who doesn't care about the Constitution, which is his only duty, is to protect the Constitution and protect the people of America. So what we have to do is get in community groups. We have to give to charities to make sure that the underclass and the lower income people are fed, that they get health care, minimum health care, I guess, or some health care, and that they get legal rights.
Thank you, Gloria Dabbs, for joining us on Politics or Pedagogy.
Thank you so much, John.
This is John Crumshaw with a special Politics or Pedagogy Education Report.
On KPFK, you hear more than a soundbite. That's education. That's our mission.
Please make your contribution at 818-985-5735 or pledge online at kpfk.org.
Bicycle, come make we ride bicycle, 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 we off we ride bicycle.
Support for KPFK comes in part from Ciclavia, an LA-based 501c3 nonprofit organization who are hosting an upcoming open streets event on Sunday, June 22nd from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Ciclavia Historic South Central meets Watts will transform 6.4 miles of car-free open streets connecting Historic South Central, Florence, Firestone, and Watts into a public park for the day. The event will provide open space for walking, jogging, biking, skating, or simply spectating, all at your own pace. It's not a race, so you can enter and exit the route at any point. KPFK will have a booth along the route, so you're invited to join us on Sunday, June 22nd, starting at 9 a.m. Ciclavia events welcome people of all ages and abilities. For more details and street closure information, visit kpfk.org and ciclavia.org.
Bicycle, bicycle, make me ride bicycle.
This is Ed Begley Jr., and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and worldwide at kpfk.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Esty Chandler. As reported at The Guardian on Thursday, family members, friends, and supporters of jailed British-Egyptian activist Ala Abdel Fattah continue to publicly call for pressure to be put on British ministers to intervene more forcefully for Ala's release from his long imprisonment in Egypt, as his mother, Leila Souaif, remains in the London hospital she was admitted to 2 weeks ago, suffering from declining health after 242 days on hunger strike, hoping to secure Ala's release. According to doctors who are treating Leila Souaif, she is at risk of sudden death from dangerously low levels of blood glucose. The news of her medical state have once again ignited widespread international and popular solidarity campaigns calling for the immediate release of her son, Ala. As listeners may recall, Ala Abdel Fattah came to prominence during Egypt's 2011 Tahrir Square protests, for which he has been jailed twice. The second time, months after his release from prison in 2019, and he continues to be imprisoned despite completing a 5-year sentence last autumn. Because Ala is part of a family with a long history of activism, including a past between his father, Ahmed Saif, and Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, family members and supporters believe Ala's continued detention may be motivated by personal animus of the Egyptian president towards his father or family. On this Father's Day, we want to raise up Ala's story, that of a father who has cruelly been separated from his young son for nearly all of his young life, and also of a mother's love and determination to free her son. I'm enormously grateful to be joined once again today by longtime friend and advocate for Alaa Abd El Fattah, Sharif Abdelkoudos, award-winning journalist and Dropsite News editor for the Middle East and North Africa. Sharif Abdelkoudos is based in New York and Cairo. He's been reporting from across the Arab world, including Egypt, Palestine, Syria, Libya, Yemen, Iraq, Bahrain, and Algeria, as well as from across the United States and internationally for many years. He received a George Polk Award for his investigation into the killing of Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Akleh, an Emmy Award for his coverage of the Trump administration's Muslim ban, and an Emmy Award for his coverage of the Trump and an Izzy Award for his coverage of the 2011 Egyptian Revolution. Sharif is also a producer of PALFEST, the Palestine Festival of Literature. His work has appeared in The Nation, The Intercept, The Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and Toronto Star. Sorry about this. We're having some technical difficulties, as well as Al Jazeera English. But our listeners likely know him best from his 8 years as a senior producer, co-host, and correspondent for Democracy Now! We are always grateful to welcome Sharif Abdelkoudos back to Middle East in Focus.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks you for being here, Sharif. Today being Father's Day, I would love to have you start with talking about Alaa, the father who was raised in a British-Egyptian family with a long history of activism. What should people know about Alaa and his wonderful family, from his parents and sisters to his young son?
This family is probably the most prominent political family in Egypt, which has a long and rich history of dissent and political activism. Because of that work, a long and painful history of incarceration and abuse. Alaa's father, Ahmed Saif al-Islam, was imprisoned in the early 1980s for 5 years. He was severely tortured. He emerged from that to become a pioneering human rights lawyer in Egypt. His mother, Leila Swif, is a longtime activist and a prominent professor of mathematics at Cairo University. They had three children, Alaa, Mona, and Sanaa. Mona was actually born while her father was in prison, while Ahmed Saif al-Islam was in prison. And this is something that echoes throughout generations with this family. All three of their children are remarkable. They're also advocates for human rights and dissenters against power. Alaa is a technologist, a writer, a political activist. He has been imprisoned or targeted by every Egyptian government to rule in his lifetime. He was first imprisoned in 2006 under the Mubarak regime as he joined protests calling for the independence of the judiciary. But it was when the revolution erupted in January 2011, Alaa moved back to Egypt from South Africa, where he was living, to take part in the uprising. And he was an effective and incredibly engaged political activist. He was among the most eloquent of revolutionaries and political thinkers, always looking to the margins and to the marginalized for inspiration. And for this, he paid a very heavy price. He was imprisoned first in 2011 for a few weeks. And while he was in prison, his son was born. So his son, Khaled, was born in December of 2011. And by the way, his son Khaled is named after Khaled Saeed, who is a young Egyptian man in Alexandria who was arrested by Egyptian police in June of 2010 and was beaten to death. And the pictures of his mutilated face and body were published online and sparked massive protests at the time. And it was one of the sparks of the January Revolution. And so he named his son after this revolutionary martyr. And we can talk a lot more about Alaa's imprisonment. His sister Mona is a microbiologist and also a longtime campaigner for prisoner rights in Egypt and against military trials and and many other things. And his youngest sister, Senet, is a filmmaker who spent a total of 3 years and 3 months behind bars in separate imprisonments in Egypt herself. A lot of it being imprisoned because she was campaigning for her brother's release. And, you know, their father, Ahmed Saif al-Islam, he died in August of 2014. He was just 63 years old. He died, when he died, both Alaa and Sanaa were in prison. And so this is, you know, when we're talking about Father's Day, this is repeating itself. Khalid, Alaa's son, has grown up without his father. Alaa has been in prison since 2013, almost continuously, except for a few months on the outside. He's been in prison, and he's arguably Egypt's most prominent political prisoner. And as you mentioned, his mother has been on hunger strike since September 29th. So that's, I think, 259 days without food. She's 69 years old. Her blood sugar numbers and other essentials are dangerously low. It's a miracle that she's still conscious, but her body simply has no more fat to burn. She's lost 40% of her body weight. She's at death's door. And doctors have warned she's at risk of sudden death at any moment. And time has run out. You know, if she dies, that responsibility will fall not only on the Egyptian government, but also on the British government, because all of them have British citizenship. And we can talk about why she went on hunger strike and so forth. But, you know, she is sacrificing her body, the body that bore Alaa, that gave birth to Alaa. And she's now at risk of imminent death.
Wow. I mean, what an incredible family. If I'm not mistaken, today is the 259th day of Layla's hunger strike.
Yes, she hasn't eaten food for that entire time.
And do you want to tell us a little bit more about why she chose to use this tactic of hunger strike to draw attention to Alaa's unjust incarceration?
Well, it was a last measure because it just seemed that they were never going to let him out. And we just have to look at Alaa's imprisonments. So, you know, in 2013, with the rise of Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, this is when Alaa's near constant incarceration began. In 2019, he completed a 5-year prison sentence where he was sentenced on charges of organizing a protest in violation of a new draconian anti-protest law at the time. He did not in fact organize that protest, but he was sentenced anyway. He completed those 5 years. He gets out. He has another 5 years of what's called probation, which in Alaa's case meant he had to turn himself into a police station every night at 6 p.m., would have to spend 12 hours there and only be let out at 6 a.m. So he had this kind of half-life, and this is the time we got to see him. Then in September of 2019, there were some anti-government protests that broke out in the streets of Cairo and elsewhere, and the secret police rearrested Alaa from the police station as he was leaving at 6 a.m., part of a massive, the biggest arrest sweep of Sisi's tenure, with thousands of people being rounded up. He was beaten, abused, thrown into a maximum security wing of Tora prison. And this was the worst of his imprisonments this period. For 3 years, he was denied sunlight, fresh air, time outside of his cell. He was denied any kind of reading material or radio. He was denied a pen and paper. He was even denied a clock or a watch. They robbed him of a sense of time as well. But legally speaking, he was held in pretrial detention for 2 years. And then in 2021, he was sentenced to another 5 years for resharing a Facebook post about torture in prison in a trial that was such a sham. It was laughable if it wasn't so serious. I attended the trial, and this was the last time I saw Alaa in the holding cell in court. So those 5 years ended in September 29th, to be exact. So he should have been released, right? No. Egyptian authorities claimed that Alaa's 2 years in pretrial detention did not count towards his sentence. This contradicts Egypt's own penal code. Okay, it doesn't make any legal sense. And so it then became clear that they just don't want to let him out. And on September 30th, the next day, Leyla Swif said enough is enough, and she launched this hunger strike that, you know, is the ultimate sacrifice that, a mother can do. She's sacrificing her body. And Alaa has started his own hunger strike. He's been on hunger strike since March 1st. He has not eaten in prison for over 100 days. He's quite weak himself. But time has run out. Time has run out. And and this is the situation we're at right now. And the British government has to act, has to secure Alaa's release. You do not know the meaning of will unless you know Leyla Swif. And she will not stop this hunger strike until her son is released or there's a tangible sign that he's going to be released.
Well, if there's anything, any through line about this family, it is exactly as you say, you know, very, very strong willed. You're listening to Middle East in Focus on listener-supported KPFK in Los Angeles. I'm Esti Chandler, so happy to be joined today by Sharif Abdelkoudos, Drop Site News editor for the Middle East and North Africa, discussing the still imprisoned Alaa Abdel Fattah and the current crisis of his mother's declining health on hunger strike to try to pressure the British government, to pressure the Egyptian government for his release, as Sharif has said, past the time of his sentence now. Sharif, as I mentioned Alaa, and as you've discussed, this family has a long history of activism. His father was Ahmed Saif al-Islam, co-founder of the Hisham Mubarak Law Center. Can you tell us a little bit more about Ahmed Saif and his work to create social consensus against torture? And can you also speak to the idea that some family members and supporters believe that Alaa's continued detention may be motivated by personal animus of the Egyptian president towards Alaa's father, or perhaps towards Alaa as a symbol of those days of mass protests in 2011 that led to the resignation of then-president Hosni Mubarak?
His father, you know, he, like, as I mentioned, he's a pioneering human rights lawyer, and he saw the law as a way to push the edges of power and to use the law. You know, Egypt has a very rich judicial tradition, probably the richest in the region. Obviously, there's a lot of corruption within it, especially in this latest period, but there's ways to use it for benefit. And we see still the people who, the lawyers in Egypt who Ahmed Saif al-Islam mentored, are still doing this heroic work. But yeah, he was severely tortured and would always represent the most marginalized in Egyptian society. With regard to Alaa's continued imprisonment, because outside of the Muslim Brotherhood or supporters of Morsi, who really were, you know, got the worst of the state's repression, including Mohamed Morsi, who died in prison, and others have died in prison, from like the young revolutionaries, Alaa is the only one left in prison, who's still imprisoned. And yes, his family have spoken about how Sisi views this as a personal animus, that he resented his father. His father was briefly detained in 2011 and, you know, kind of told Sisi that Sisi at the time was the youngest member of the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces. And he said that he would be being released in this revolutionary period, and he was. Alaa has also spoken directly about Abdel Fattah al-Sisi in no uncertain terms, and that Sisi took personal offense to this. It's hard to say why they continue to keep him in, but he's imprisoned also because he is a symbol of this revolutionary moment, this moment of mass mobilization, this moment where there was real hope for change and a real feeling that change was possible in Egypt. And change did happen. There was this moment when, you know, when the old order fell and before the new one reemerged, there was this incredible feeling of community in Egypt and this incredible moment of politics, real democratic politics happening everywhere on the streets and just in households. And Alet represents that to him. And he's also such a versatile and eloquent and experimental thinker that I think, yeah, he poses a danger to them. A few years ago, his family and a collective of his friends and supporters helped put together a collection of his writings that was published into a book. It was translated. It's called You Have Not Yet Been Defeated. I urge everyone to read it. Much of what is in the book was written from within prison. And he writes about, you know, not only political activism and the body and things like this, but he also somehow from his prison cell wrote about Uber and, you know, way in the beginning of the gig economy and what danger this would pose, and kind of predicted this life that we're all leading now. And I'll just read to you a very brief excerpt, if I can, from one of his essays. It's called Five Metaphors on Healing. In this essay, he cites writers like James Baldwin, Nietzsche, Walter Benjamin, and he has a short essay after each one of reflection. So I'll read an excerpt from where he cites Donna Haraway's A Cyborg Manifesto. He writes, "If we are to be treated like animals with no agency, so be it. But we shall bypass cattle and livestock, ignore pets and domesticates. We shall look to the lizards, starfish, and earthworms, those beings that can regenerate after any injury, no matter how grave. We shall accept that regenerated organs may not be identical to what was lost. They could appear to be mutilated, but look closer, and you will see the beauty in monstrosity. For only the monstrous can hold both the history of dreams and hopes and the reality of defeat and pain together. The monstrous need not forget their old injuries in order to lose their fear of acquiring new ones." And he wrote that, you know, while he was being held at the police station in September of 2019, and 2 days later, he was rearrested and imprisoned, and he hasn't been out since.
Wow. You know, I have thought a lot about Alla, and I've pulled his book off my shelf several times in the last 4 months as Americans have been filling the streets full of activists trying to fight off our own authoritarian regime. So that was beautiful. We all have a lot to learn from Alla's essays. And I encourage everybody to pick up a copy of You Have Not Yet Been Defeated. So Sharif, Alla's a dual British citizen, British and Egyptian, and the family has been pressing hard, advocating with the British government for his relief release. But what about us? What about concerned people in the U.S. who have been following Alla's story and that of his mother and are obviously terribly worried about her medical condition? Is there anything that concerned listeners here in the U.S. can do at this point to help the campaign and which is an international and popular solidarity? You know, there's several campaigns in solidarity with Alla. What can they do to help create pressure to free Alla?
Well, let me just say, first of all, as a result of Leila's heroic hunger strike, there has been movement in England. We have multiple MPs speaking out in Parliament, calling for his release and calling for the government to do more. The Prime Minister, Starmer, has reached out to the family several times. It sparked the first direct phone call between Starmer and Sisi in, I believe, January of this year. There was a second call just a few weeks ago. There's vigils held every day outside the hospital where Leila is being taken care of. But for the U.S., you know, the United States is Egypt's most important ally. Egypt is the second largest recipient of U.S. military aid in the world, second only to Israel. So any pressure that the United States can put on Egypt to release Ala will of course go a very long way. Different presidents have been able to secure the release of Egyptian Americans who were imprisoned in Egypt. There was Mohammed Sultan, who President Obama negotiated out, Aya Hagezi, which Trump negotiated out in his first term. So the U.S. has a lot of weight with Egypt, much more so than Britain. And so any kind of pressure, if you know your congressperson or senator to call on the administration to put pressure for Ala to be released is of course welcome. It's hard to think that this administration in particular would put pressure on Egypt to release a British Egyptian citizen, but the U.S. is the most important ally. And one lesson that Ala wrote about or in his book, and something he would talk about, was the way you can help people in Egypt is to fix your own democracy. That's what he would say: fix your own democracy, because if you have a system that actually works in the United States with proper democracy, then you wouldn't. The reason Ala and others are in prison is because of the relationship it has with the United States, which helps this government stay in power with economic, political, and military support. And these relationships would not exist if we had a functioning system. So another way you can help is to engage in activism, be an engaged citizen in this country, which is facing a lot of problems that have spilled overseas. And as we know, the violence that's meted out into the periphery of the empire always ends up coming back to the imperial core. And the violence and the genocide in Palestine that the U.S. has facilitated, not just backed but facilitated, is coming back to the shores here in America. We're seeing it now. And so this is very serious and something that I think we should pay heed to Ala's words.
Couldn't agree with you more. Super proud of the over 200,000 Southern Californians who were out in the streets yesterday. And we've all heard Sharif's advice on calls we need to make, people we need to interact with to try to put additional pressure on getting Ala Abdel El-Fattah released from prison. Thank you so much for taking time out of your weekend to be with us, Sharif.
Thank you for having me.
Ahmed Dahabi at DropSite News reported that on Friday, 200 participants in the Global March to Gaza, a planned protest aimed at delivering aid to people being intentionally starved by the Israeli military and challenging Israel's blockade on Gaza, were stopped at a security checkpoint outside of Cairo as they made their way to Ismailia. After being held at the checkpoint for several hours and having their passports temporarily confiscated, marchers were dragged onto buses back to Cairo by plainclothes security officials, as were participants who had managed to reach the hotel in Ismailia. While Egypt has publicly condemned the restrictions on aid entering Gaza and has called for an end to Israel's war on the people in Gaza, Egypt has historically clamped down on protests that affect its ties with Israel and the military aid the U.S. provides in exchange for their clampdown. After Abdel Fattah al-Sisi came to power in 2013, Egyptian authorities also destroyed tunnels that provided a lifeline to Gaza and have allowed Israeli drones, helicopters, and warplanes to carry out a covert air campaign in the Sinai Desert. Once again, I want to thank our guest, Sharif Abdel Kudos, DropSite News Editor for the Middle East and North Africa. I also want to thank Ozzy Flamenco for his production support today. Stay tuned for Swana Region Radio up next for their conversation with Atef Saeed, another friend of Ala's family who has recently returned from London after visiting with Leila Souif. For KPFK Los Angeles, I'm Esti Chandler, thanking you for your continued support of KPFK and for taking this time to put the Middle